Tri-City Amateur Radio Club Tips Nat for November 25th.
Good evening.
The time is 7 p.m. on Wednesday, November 25.
Tipsnet for Wednesday, November 25th, in the year 2020 AD. Good evening and welcome to the Tri-City Amateur Radio Club Tipsnet. This is Kilo Charlie 1 Tango Whiskey Romeo. My name is Tim and I'm located in Groton, Connecticut. I will be your net control station for this evening. Membership in the Tri-City Amateur Radio Club is not necessary for participation. Amateurs are welcome to check into the net. Those that do not wish to check in are certainly welcome to listen. This net operates on the 147.060 megahertz repeater with a PL tone of 156.7 hertz. If needed, the secondary is 146.67, also with a PL tone of 156.7 hertz. This net also can be reached via Echolink by going to W1DX-R, that's Whiskey 1 Delta X-ray-R. The net is held each Wednesday evening starting at 7 p.m. local time with various net controllers on a rotating basis, and we're always looking for more net controllers, so if you want to try your hand at it, just let us know. This net is intended to provide an informal operating environment for new operators as well as experienced amateurs. The purpose of this net is to provide twofold. First, to provide a venue for presenting questions and obtaining answers and advice related to amateur radio. Secondly, to promote good fellowship among amateur radio operators and to encourage the use of good operating procedures. Let me reset the repeater.
Here is Kilo Alpha 6, Papa Delta Golf. Kevin in Norwich, no questions.
This is Kilo 1, Delta Charlie Tango, Dave in Preston, no questions.
Here is Whiskey 1 Foxtrot Juliet Whiskey, Chuck in Groton, no questions.
This is November Kilo 1 Victor Steve Coventry, no questions.
Juliet Mike November, Jerry Mobile,
questions. Okay, NET recognizes Kevin, KA6PDG, Dave, K1DCT, Chuck, W1FJW, Steve, NK1V, and Jerry, K1JMN. Mobile. Any further check-ins, please call now. Gentlemen, the day before Turkey Day or Thanksgiving or just the Thursday, it's your call. I have a couple of things I can read off that might initiate a conversation. Once I get done, you can take your pick or you can tell us how your day is going or anything else that comes to your mind. The first thing that I wanted to mention is the fact that the Dayton Hamvention has been announced, and it will be on May 21st through the 23rd at the Greene County Fairgrounds and Expo Center in Xenia, Ohio. The theme this year is The Gathering. And I think what they're referring to is the fact that we've spent so much time apart because of all of the COVID-19 and everybody being in their own bubble. This will be a gathering, so that should be of interest. For those of you who know CW, and especially those that are learning it or trying to practice their skills, there is a CW practice net on Tuesdays at 8 p.m. local time. It's on 3.530. That's 3.530 Tuesdays at 8 p.m. Basically, it's a few people who get together to practice their CW, and they start out at 20 words per minute. However, they will absolutely go slower if there's somebody that would like to check in to practice their CW. They encourage everyone who's learning CW to go ahead and check in no matter what speed you're at. Currently, they will adjust in order to help you practice. That's always a good thing. I also wanted to mention that the Red Cross MCOM drill, fall drill for 2020, the Red Cross side of it issued their summary and results. They mentioned the fact that they had 1,750 messages that were sent by 1,550 amateur radio operators in 47 states, plus Puerto Rico, Venezuela, and Canada. And that's about twice the number of the people who participated in the spring of 2020. So that was interesting. I also wanted to bring to light that there is, let's see if I can find it here. That's gone. I'll save that for later. Anyhow, okay, that gives you a gist of some things we can possibly chat about. Also, the general subject is WinLink encrypted or not? And if it's not encrypted, how easy is it for somebody to listen on the air? Not the sending station, not the receiving station, but somebody in the middle. How easy or hard is it for that person to actually decode and understand what's being sent? So those are some things we can think about or talk about. I'd like to go to Jerry first because he's mobile and see what thoughts he may have on this subject or on any of these subjects or anything else he'd like to bring to the table. K1JMN, KC1TWR, and the TIPSnet.
Tim, I am mobile and I'm about to reach my destination, running some chores and errands around here right now. I have no questions, so I'll pass it back to Net Control, K1JMN.
Okay, very good. I hope you are successful in all your chore tasks. Let's round robin to the top of the list, and we'll work our way through. And we'll start with Kevin, KA6BDT. This is KC1TWR and the TIPSnet.
Well, good evening, Tim, and the net. I forgot to test my voice out to make sure if it worked before I went to use it. Well, let's see. You touched on two things that were a little bit interesting. One was the at the end there about is WinLink encrypted, and I'm not going to try and address that subject because I know very little about WinLink. But one thing that makes it an interesting question is that Part 97 of the rules has something to say about encryption, I believe. So it's sort of a loaded question, I guess. The other one was the CW PracticeNet, and I'll reset here. Basically, what I have here is a device that sends out an email and a text message to all my friends and relatives as soon as I get on the air, and then they all call on the phone, in case you're wondering about the racket in the background. The CW, one thing to remind people of is even if you either are not able to or don't wish to get on the air and or maybe aren't licensed yet, and can't get on the air and actually practice sending CW, you can always listen in, even on a general coverage receiver, if you have one. And there's some good ones out there that aren't expensive, and you hook up 10 feet of wire, or even 6 feet of wire. Most of these guys, I think, are here in Connecticut, and you'll probably hear the signals fairly well. So that's all I have. I hope I didn't give you too much to digest there, Tim. KA6PDG, because we want to do our digesting tomorrow. Back to Ned.
I agree with you. Half of learning CW is not only how to send, but how to receive. And sometimes, a little similar to the traffic net that's on the Norwich repeater every night at 9 p.m., people can listen in and try, and if there's a message being sent, a radiogram, they can practice writing it down, seeing if they can take the radiogram. Okay, and as far as WinLink goes, I probably used the wrong word when I said encrypted. It's similar to packet radio in the sense that listening with our ears, we don't understand it. We need some kind of either hardware or software to be able to understand the packet information. And that's similar to WinLink, except that with WinLink, I think it's a little bit different. And that's what is coming to mind. Okay, let's move on down to Dave, K1DCT, see what he thinks about all these items. This is KC1TWR and the TIPSnet.
All right, well, good evening to all. This is K1DCT. Yeah, the CWNet practice sounds interesting. I'll have to check that out on Tuesday nights. And as far as WinLink, I guess, you know, I have been on WinLink and have been on WinLink frequencies. And I didn't copy anybody else's messages, but I'm sure there was a way. There's a way to copy just about everything. Somewhere here in a drawer, I have a little device that you could take the audio off the air and copy pager messages, digital pager messages. So something that was built a long time ago just as an experiment, and it indeed worked. So, you know, like we used to listen to baby monitors and our neighbors' cordless phones. I guess there's a way to monitor everything if you're industrious enough to figure it out. So, although I'm not overly concerned with it, but it would not surprise me if someone's doing it. So, whatever they can, information they can gather from that, I guess, and use, I guess remains to be seen. So, that's about it. I'm sure I had something else to say, but I'll blame it on Kevin. He made me forget. So, back to that, K1DCT.
Okay, thank you, Dave. And, yeah, it's interesting topics. Okay, this is the Tri-City Amateur Radio Club. Well, tips that. Got to get my Mets straight. We're going to do another call out now. And so if anybody would like to join, either to provide their comments on what we've been talking about, or if they have any other questions or item of interest that they'd like to bring to the net, please come now with your call sign.
Basically, he was talking about the fact about 2 years ago,
an amateur radio operator, brought it to the FCC's attention. And I remember part of the quote that he had from him that said basically that Winlink should be easily decoded with open source software or open source hardware, software, what have you. And that if it wasn't, then wasn't that the same thing as encrypting? Because if you make it so that it's very, very difficult for people to decode it, then isn't that the same thing as encrypting? Anyhow, let's move on to Steve, what he thinks about all this, and K1B, KC1TWR, and the TIPSnet.
The FCC rules and stuff, he described it much better than I can read it here, but that's pretty much the sum of it. It can't be, it has to be a standard format, and basically anybody with the proper tools can intercept any of the transmissions and open them up just like if it went to the intended receiver. But I don't think doesn't seem to be a huge problem. But I do remember, and I can't find it, as Tim said the same thing. I saw the statement somewhere, can't find it. And like the user guide that it mentions on the WinLink thing, that to be careful of that because it's basically to be used for emergency communications and for, you know, remote situations and so on, like we use WinLink for, but not to be using it for, you know, like online banking or, you know, personal information that's critical to your own, you know, situation, you know, other, you know, so it's only like for emergency stuff. I can't find the statement that says that, but it does say that on there, so that's relatively cut and dry, I guess, and, you know, the way Chuck explained it makes a lot more sense than what I would have said back to that. Oh, wait, let me reset. And yeah, the CW, I'm glad you mentioned the CW PracticeNet, because I kind of been looking for one. I'm making some progress. It's a little bit frustrating, and it's the listening that's the issue, and slowly getting better. But I'd like to actually start listening to something like what that net, and start getting the feel for what they're doing. I try to listen to some like code activations and stuff, so I can become fairly familiar with them, the patterns and stuff. But yeah, that's cool. I'm gonna start listening in on that, and then eventually I will jump in when I'm ready, and hopefully it won't be too long from now. Back to net, NK1B.
Okay, very good, Steve. And you may want to contact Bill Bircher, K1EV, to let him know that you're listening in, because, like I said, they start out at 20 words per minute, but they certainly will adjust down to whatever speed anybody who checks into the net. So if that 20 words a minute is a little too fast for you, you can always let him know that you're listening, and maybe they can slow down for a bit so you can practice listening, you know, recording what they're transmitting at a speed that makes that works for you. I did say that the frequency was 3.530. He did caution that sometimes due to atmospheric conditions or other people being very close to that frequency or whatever, they might move a little bit, like up to 3.55 or something of that nature. So if you don't hear them on 3.530, search around a little bit very close to there. You should be able to find it. Okay, let's. Looks like Gary might be back again, so we'll go ahead and check in with him and see if he has any thoughts about WinLink, if he's used WinLink, or if he has any thoughts about it as far as encryption or as far as decoding goes, or anything else involving amateur radio that he might find of interest. K1JMN, KC1TWR, and the TIPSnet.
Okay, thank you, Tim. Yeah, I have used WinLink a couple times, and I have a theory, but, you know, it's
basically an educated guess. I don't believe it's encrypted because the FCC rules frown on encryption. However, it may be formatted, and it depends on what you're transmitting, like number of stop bits or start bits and stuff like that for digital transmission. So it might be a format, a question of format, not so much of encryption. And then you're going to have a device to convert it into bit form that the computer can interpret. So I believe it's not encrypted, but it is formatted. And that would be pretty much my guess. And again, it's just a guess. And again, thanks again. And I want to say good evening to everyone on the net. And Kevin, I'll see you tomorrow. And good evening, everyone. And thanks for taking care of the Tishnet tonight, Tim. And so back to the net. KYJMN 73.
And I hope you're still being successful in your errands. That would be good. Okay, we've reached the bottom of the list. Let me do another quick call out before we go to the top, and I have a couple of other things to just mention. Anybody else that would like to join us here on the TIPSnet, again, to either tell us what you think about what we're talking about, or if you have a question or a comment or just want to check in, please come now with your call sign. Want to remind everyone that the Tri-City Amateur Radio Club is going to have an amateur radio license exam on Saturday, December 12th in Norwich. Details can be found on their website, tricityarc.net. So far we have six people who I'm pretty confident will be there to take the exams for all three levels. Not one person taking all three levels, but out of the six, we're going to have at least some technicians, I think one or two generals, and one extra exam that will be taken. And there are two other people who I feel reasonably confident will be there, but I'm not sure yet. So if you know of anybody else that's looking to get their license or, you know, take the exam to get their license or looking to upgrade, this is an opportunity to do that. Okay, let's go around to the top of the list, and we've talked about all kinds of things. I think we pretty well covered the whole Windlink aspect. I don't think there's much else to say about the Dayton or the Red Cross event. So it's pretty going to be pretty well open mic for anything of interest dealing with amateur radio that you'd like to bring to the table this evening. Let's start with Kevin, KA6PDG. This is KC1TWR and the TIPSnet.
All right, Tim, many thanks. Good conversation thus far. And Jerry, yes, looking forward to tomorrow. And hopefully you were able to, Jerry, hopefully you were able to pick up the Bravo 3-0. The Bravo 3-0, that was an encrypted message. No, it wasn't. It was encoded. If anybody wants the code, just call me on the phone. All right. Well, funny you should mention Red Cross, because some of the conversation about encoding, encrypting, formatting, and all that made me think. Yes, occasionally it happens. So over the years, I've been involved with ARIES, and at times I've been more involved than I am now. Basically, I just check into NATS, and if somebody calls and says there's an emergency, we need you to need an operator somewhere, you know, I'm willing to help out. But I do remember over the years, as we as a society started becoming more conscientious about people's privacy and that sort of thing. So maybe we're talking back in the 80s for sake of discussion. We started hearing things like from the Red Cross, whereas previously you might, if necessary, if requested to do so by the Red Cross, you might be transmitting people's names who have come into a shelter. We've had two new people come into the shelter, Emily Johnson and Richard Smith. And they came down and said, we don't want you doing that anymore because of privacy issues. Let me reset. About the same time, we started learning that maybe it wasn't such a good idea with some of these public service community events that we provide communications for, marathons, bike races, that kind of thing, to transmit the names of participants. You know, Joe Anderson placed third. He came across with 22 minutes and 5 seconds. He said, if you're going to pass, sort of the thinking was, and I believe the Red Cross was saying, if we need you to transmit that kind of information that's a little bit sensitive, do it on a digital mode like Packet. Packet was all the rage back in the time period, I'm thinking, when this all started. While I think some of us were a little bit squeamish at first, we began to realize, you know what, this is just being conscientious as a society, and so we all got used to it. So my question is, if you're in a position to say, Tim, how is the Red Cross, for example, handling that nowadays? I don't think there are a lot of cases where you need to transmit people's names and that kind of thing, but if there are, have they instructed to do it in a digital mode, like WinLink, for example? Or what's the guidance on that nowadays, if there is any? KH6PDG, back to net.
First off, while you're talking, I was thinking I should dial up your home phone there and let it ring in the background, asking you for the code for that 3BO or 3B0 or whatever it was, but I decided against it. I can only speak to Red Cross as far as Territory 4 goes, and which is the eastern portion of Connecticut. Basically, they're not using digital modes at this point. They're only using 2-meter radio, either through repeaters or simplex. A couple of points to keep in mind. Number one, the amateur radio operator is only responsible to transmit the content that was provided from the shelter or from the incident. They're not supposed to change or modify or add to or remove from the content that's handed to them. So consequently, I don't know what would happen if a Red Cross person said, oh, transmit that Charlie Smith has arrived, or Joe Smith is here and has a really bad rash in that place we don't want to talk about. I don't think that we would be asked to transmit that, but it's a fair question, and I'll go to Sue and ask her about that, what's the current rules on that. But I'm pretty sure that currently the rules are not to use people's names, similar to the events like the Niantic Bay Triathlon and things of that nature. We're always instructed to only use the number on the bib or the entrance number, not to use their name. So even though the rider or whatever may fall down and say, hey, my name's Joe Smith and I fell down, I need help, we can only report that. We had a bicyclist that fell down. His number is 1234, and please send the ambulance or assistance or somebody to fix the bike. Okay, I think I answered with what I know to be true so far, but let's move on. Maybe somebody else has some thoughts or information or hindsight or foresight on this. Let's try Dave, K1DCT, who's KC1TWR, and the TipsNet.
Okay, well, I'm not sure I have any of those sites on that information, but I agree with what you said. Names typically are not transmitted. Although I can say at one time, actually it would be the anniversary tomorrow, at the Turkey Trot, there was a young boy, I don't know, 8 or 10, that someone had lost track of. But we only used the first name and a description, and everything turned out okay. So, yeah, I think a lot of that information needs to be kept, as they'd say, on the down low. so, that's about that. Outside of that, I don't really have anything additional to add, with the exception of this is a good time of year to be a ham and not a turkey. K1DCT.
Thank you, Dave. And your last comment is very apropos. And I will append that by saying that if you have to be a turkey, be a very big turkey, because they're not really being looked for. Everybody's looking for small turkeys. Okay, let's move on to Chuck and see what thoughts he may have for the second round of the TipsNet. W1FJW, KC1TWR, and the TipsNet.
Well, basically, I think a lot of what the Red Cross's sensitivity was brought up by the Health Insurance Portability and Accountability Act of 1996, otherwise known as HIPAA, which is a federal law that requires that certain sensitive information has to be protected from disclosure. And unfortunately, it's caused many problems for many groups, and it pretty much puts the amateur community in a bind, in as much as we're not allowed to encrypt. But if you're transporting information which is prohibited for public disclosure under HIPAA, you got one federal law that says you have to encrypt it, and another federal law that says you must not encrypt it. So I'd say leave it alone. Back to net, W1FJW.
That makes a lot of sense to me. As we found out during the last Red Cross Emergency Communication Drill, we also did a SET for Territory 4 of Connecticut Aries, and part of that was to have people go to the various Red Cross shelters or shelter sites, not inside the building itself, and report in with a shelter activity report, which is a form that's provided by Sue Bolin of Red Cross. And the form is very simple. It gives numbers 1 through 10. Each number asks a question like how many new people have shown up in the shelter, how many people are currently at the shelter, how many people have left the shelter, that kind of thing. And following the coding process, if you will, although I don't think it's really a code, the instructions were that the person, the amateur radio operator at the shelter site, would call in to the Salem repeater, to Tom, WA2RYV, who was taking the information, and would read number one and then whatever the number was, but not read what it was for. So very simply, it would be number one is 5, number two is 12, number three is 2, that kind of thing. So even there, they're trying to be kind of be careful with what information is disseminated. let's move on to Steve and see what he thinks of all this in K1V, KC1KWR, and the TIPSnet.
NK1V. Yeah, it was an interesting point that Chuck brought up about, one government entity telling you you need to do things one way and another one telling you you need to do things another way. And it's an interesting gray area between. I'm just kind of listening in on it. I've never really been involved in anything like that where that kind of information was being passed. And although I do listen a lot on, scanning through all different kinds of frequencies, and I have one of the modern scanners where I can pick up a lot of stuff. And, I don't know, there's a lot of things that go over, depending on how many people have access to the information easily, I guess, is kind of my thought. There's some systems that are difficult to scan, and regular analog systems are very easy. Almost anybody can get them on almost any device. So, obviously, like the police and stuff use different, numbering codes, like Tim had mentioned and stuff for things. But, I suppose there's not most points can be gotten across with very little information, and then the data on that, what the needed critical information can be sent with some other method, and even through like an email, Winlink email, because it's how many people actually have access to easily pull the stuff off the air, I guess is my thinking. But never really got involved in that, and it's interesting, very interesting topic. I'm attempting to listen well. Back to that, NK1B.
Okay, thank you, Steve. Just to set the stage a little bit on as far as Red Cross goes and the shelters, each of the 10 regional shelters in Territory 4 has a 2-meter radio, a power supply, a tripod, a 2-meter 440 antenna, and about a 50 feet of cable to get out to the tripod and the antenna. And a instruction manual on how to set it all up, which is kind of nice. So most of the information that goes over the air from the Territory 4 regional shelters is going to be wide open, no encryption or correction, no coding other than, as I described before, but they don't use packet, they don't use Winlink at this point. They are talking about it, getting them set up with VMR. I have my reservations about using VMR only because, it still relies on the internet for the most part. Secondly, as we found out recently, in Connecticut, the ARRI's DMR, what connects all the DMR repeaters together, makes a network of them. There's a computer that acts as a server that manages all that, and it went down. Consequently, there were certain repeaters that just could not get on be included in the DMR network, if you will. So for want of a, nail, shoe was lost, for want of a shoe, the horse, the race was lost. Okay, let's go to Jerry and see what he thinks after all these comments. K1JMN, KC1TWR, and the TIPSnet. Quickly before you go, just pass this over to Kevin. He had a question for you. something about a 3BO or something, and also to see if what was discussed kind of answered the general question that he had asked the group. K6PDG, KC1TWR.
K6PDG, well, I just sent that message to Jerry to be funny. That's all it was. Jerry was going to pick something up today, and so I was jokingly at the store, and I was just joking around with the net to give everybody a heart attack. What was your second question, Tim? I didn't quite understand that. Okay, that sounds like a statement, not a question, but I think I know what you're driving at. Yeah, I thought that was very helpful. Sort of funny, I'm sitting here thinking, well, now, what if somebody's listening, and they hear this line 2, 7, line 3, 14, line 4, 11, and they want to find out what that means, so they call the local ham later on the phone. The ham says, well, all I do is pass messages. If you need to know something, you'll need to talk to the Red Cross. So the person calls the Red Cross, and they say, well, we don't really feel that's information you need to have. And, of course, they're not bound by Part 97 FCC rules. So then you've created a loop. The dog chases its tail. And again, I'm just thinking out loud, that doesn't need to be addressed. The chances of that sort of thing happening are very limited. And Steve or somebody made a comment that made me think, you can transmit stuff in Windlink or what. And yeah, the information is out there. If you want to take the time to go get it, who's going to bother? You know, if I'm transmitting. Oh, and that was the other thing, Tim. What would they do at the local Red Cross shelter if I showed up to operate with my CW gear? End of comments. KA6PDG back to net.
That those 2 meter radios that they have in their little go boxes are equipped to do CW. Maybe you've got one that can plug into where the microphone goes and have all the appropriate adapters and so forth, but you would be hard pressed to make sure that the person at the other end who's receiving also knows enough CW in order to be able to communicate. Okay, I think we're going to wrap up the first section because it's getting a little bit late, and I think we've pretty well talked Windlink to death and what have you. Nothing else seems to be on the table. But before we go on to the next section, I'll do one last call out for any check-ins or last comments before we go to the second section. Come with your call sign now. We will now start the second section of the TIPSNet. Does anyone have any announcements about upcoming events or items of interest? Please call now. Okay, nothing heard. We already talked about the amateur radio exam coming up in about Dayton, so I think we're ready to go to the third section, the third and final section of the TIPSNet. This concerns selling, swapping, or looking for amateur radio-related items. If anybody is out there that would like to sell, swap, or looking for amateur radio-related items, please call now.
K1DCT.
Okay, K1DCT, please proceed.
Yeah, sorry, I'm out of order here. I missed the announcements. I did not hear anyone say anything about this Saturday. There'll be a fox hunt in the Norwich area. The fox will be on transmitting on into the 7-3 repeater, so it'll be on 146.13, and there'll also be other transmitters out there. So it's 11 a.m., I believe is the right start time. So I just wanted to get that out there in case anyone needs to hunt down a fox. Sorry for the late being in the wrong category. Story of my life, K1DCT.
And the information is also located on the RASON website, which is rason.org, RASON.org. You can find information about, there's a link right on the main page that takes you to a page that gives you all the gory details about the fox hunt. And I still think they should have called it a turkey hunt or a pumpkin pie hunt or something of that nature. Anyhow, because we're still in the third section as well, I do want to mention I just saw an email where Rob Sawyer, KB1RS, has decided to put an HF rig in his truck. So he's in the market for a radio and an antenna. He's partial to Kenwood and Yaesu, but he wants something with an internal tuner. He says, I'm considering a number of antenna solutions. If you have any mobile HF gear that you're interested in selling, email me directly at rob@thesawyerfarms.com. So any questions or comments about that or anything else dealing with buying, selling, or looking for amateur radio-related items, please call now. Anybody else that would like to check into the TipsNet, or if anybody has any other comments or crosstalk, please come with your call sign now. Tuesday at 7 p.m., and they're open to all interested persons, licensed or not. .NET will meet again next Wednesday at 7 p.m. on this frequency. I now return the repeater to regular amateur use. This is Kilo Charlie 1 Tango Whiskey Romeo, wishing everyone good evening, and 73.